Well, we're continuing our study in the parables. We're in the parable of the wheat and the tares, the fifth session, and I think this will probably be the last one. I've talked to you about anticipation in previous sessions, and I want to make mention of it again. Do you think about the Lord's return? Do you think about the Lord's coming and what that will mean for you personally? What a great and glorious day it will be. We're going to be looking at some of this here this morning. I want to read the parable for you once again, starting in Matthew 13 and verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then verse 36, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Been trying to unfold the truth of this parable to you over past sessions. What an amazing parable it is that during this present church age there will be wheat and tares, not only in the world in general, but in the world of churches in the world, people that will appear to be sons of the kingdom but who are not, but who are tares, who have been sown by the devil, which may be unbeknownst to them and may be unbeknownst to us in this church for a while, until it's revealed to us that they really didn't know the Lord. Sometimes things go on like that for years in a church, and people really can't come to terms with what they're looking at in certain people whose behavior is inconsistent and their obedience is less than consistent. But what I want to share with you here this morning is the outcome of all of this at the end of the age. It says here, verse 40, "Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and practice lawlessness." So we see here during the whole entire church age, you're going to have wheat and tares. Do you see that? All the way down until Christ comes back. Until Christ returns, you're going to have both wheat and tares in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in the churches, you're going to see this being worked out, this parable being worked out. The wheat that is going to be gathered and is being gathered and will become evident on the last day the day when the Lord returns, the wheat is going to be gathered into the barn, it says here, gathered into the barn. What does Jesus mean when he says that he will gather his wheat into the barn? Well, the gathering into the barn is his gathering the sons of the kingdom into heaven. The eternity of dwelling together with God and Christ, the new heavens and the new earth that are coming, in which will dwell righteousness. And the wheat are people, and the tares are people. So there's going to be this separation that takes place at Christ's second coming. When Christ returns again, it's going to be a great and glorious event for all believers. And we will see him and behold him coming on the clouds in great glory. Not one of us will miss that day, by the way. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, it says in Revelation 1:7. And at that time, there's going to be a great separation that takes place. And you and I ought to be anticipating this and honestly living for this day, because as I say, it's not as though we're going to miss it. There's not going to be a secret rapture and a 7-year tribulation and a millennium that follows that. There is just one second coming of Christ. And by the way, maybe I'll mention this more than once today, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you see the Lord descending with the voice of the angel, the trumpet of God, with a great shout. And the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. And then we who are alive, if we are alive, will and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds. That's the rapture of the church, and thus we shall ever be with the Lord. But this is one day at the end of the age that we're talking about. And it's very important, I think, that we understand that, lest we be deceived, really, at this point, which I think many Christians are, unfortunately, not only in this generation, but in a few past generations as well. We won't get into all that. But what I do want you to see here is that when the wheat is gathered, that the righteous will shine forth, it says here, in the kingdom of their Father. We've been studying the kingdom of heaven. Now today we think about the kingdom of the Father. Two distinct things here, the kingdom of the Father and the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to unfold this a little bit more as I go through this, Lord willing. But you have the righteous shining forth, and I've asked the question here, why will the righteous shine? Why will they be able to shine forth? Question number two. Can you tell me? Amen.
Somehow showing forth his grace.
Yeah, I think that's good. I think that's very good. It, what Brian's saying is that whatever light we have is by virtue of Christ's light, that he is the light of the world. He is the one that illuminated our darkness. He is the one that shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it, as it says in John chapter 1. But you and I comprehend it because the Lord has shined his light into our hearts, that we might behold the glory of Christ. But when Christ returns, we need to see that the shining forth of the righteous will take place because of our glorification with the Lord Jesus. Now, when we're glorified, it means that we're going to become like him, as it says in John. Because we'll see him as he is. Yes, David?
I was just going to bring up that verse.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Chapter 3, verse 2.
Yes.
It says, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we shall be like him because we will see him as he is.
Amen. Amen. We'll see him as he is. What a tremendous thing. We'll be like him. This is what we're trying to get at here. In other words, that we will shine because in our glorification we will be given, we'll be brought into a state of perfection in terms of not having any sin, but also in terms of righteousness, that we will shine forth in that day. That is, that we will have an essential glory to our being. You remember Jesus in the Transfiguration? You remember what happened there? They went up on the mountain and Jesus was there with three of his disciples, and it says that his whole clothing and his face, is the way that he appeared to them, just shone with this dazzling light, and Peter was just overcome with the whole thing and said, maybe we should make three tabernacles and stay here. But he didn't understand what was happening. But what was happening was Jesus was giving them a preview of what the kingdom of glory will be like someday, and what he himself, what the Lord Jesus himself will be like in that day. And by the way, here it says, shining like the glory of the sun, it says here, Matthew 13:43, in the kingdom of their Father. So there's going to be this radiance of glory in that day. And by the way, it says in later on in the book of Revelation that there won't be any need for the sun and the moon and the stars in that day because of the brightness of the glory of Christ. But also it says that that we will shine forth with him. So being glorified means that you and I, who know the Lord, we will have this essential glory, that we will in ourselves shine forth. There will be this radiance that comes forth from our very lives. I think it's hard for us to grasp the significance. It's just kind of like David was just reading to us, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Why don't you turn with me over to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi 4 and verse 2. I want to read you a verse there. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. And you shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. So on the final day, on the day when we're raised from the dead, the wicked are going to be judged. And here it says in verse 3 that they will be trampled as ashes under the soles of your feet. In other words, they're going to suffer the punishment of flaming fire when the Lord returns with his angels in flaming fire, as it says there in the book of 2 Thessalonians. We need to link these things together. In the New American Standard, it says that we will, that when we rise from the dead, we will skip about like calves from the stall. I don't know if you've ever seen young calves skip around, but it is kind of an interesting phenomenon for those of you who have seen it. And you and I will be like that in that glorious day that we're talking about here. But it's going to be even much more than that. And if you'll turn with me to Daniel chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. Would somebody like to read that for me? Daniel 12 verses 2 and 3. And while you're turning over there, let me ask the third question. Who is the Son of Righteousness, and what is the healing in his wings referring to in that verse that we just looked at?
The Son of Righteousness is Jesus.
The Son of Righteousness is Jesus. And what does it mean then that he will arise with healing in his wings. You could have more than one implication to this, but what is it?
I would say his ministry of reconciliation in his name, so that we may be restored to God.
His ministry of reconciliation, so that we may be restored to God. Very good. There's no doubt that that's true, but it appears to go beyond that. In the verses that we studied, and refers to the second coming of Christ as the culmination of all of that. I think that maybe we can look at it that way and understand it really quite well. Well, who wants to read Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3 for me? Who's got it?
Many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life.
All right. Can you read one more verse? Yeah, go ahead.
Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Oh, thank you for that, Elijah. There's a real interesting chapter here. It's in the context, it's talking about the Jewish people and the time that they shall be delivered as a nation from their unbelief and rejection of Christ, but it goes much further than that. And it talks here about the resurrection from the dead. It says here, of those who sleep in the dust of the earth. So what would that be? Question number 4, what time period would that be when many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth awake?
The end,
that's right, the end of the age, yeah, when Christ returns. The end of the age, and people will all be raised from the dead, some to everlasting life and some to shame and contempt, it says here. And then there's going to be persons who are rewarded, who were wise, it says here, the righteous who were wise, it says here. It's a really interesting wording, shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. Isn't that good? Shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, in other words, turn them to Christ and his righteousness, and turn them to doing what is right, keeping the commandments of God as a result of their coming to faith in Christ, will be like the stars forever. Isn't that great wording? It's beautiful, wonderful wording, because that's exactly what we're looking at here this morning. The righteous shall shine forth. We're seeing here that they will shine as the stars forever. And how glorious is that? Shining as the stars. We saw it shining as the sun in the other verse. Shining as the stars, as the brightness of the firmament, it says here. What an amazing thing it is. For those who are wise, they will shine like the brightness of the firmament. So how important it is that you and I then come to the place where we are wise, and where we will turn people around us to righteousness. Isn't that good? Good application of what we're thinking about here. That's what one of the things we're called to do as Christians. We're called to attempt, by the grace of God, to turn people around us to righteousness, to doing what is right according to what the Bible says. Yeah, read them.
Yeah, that just makes me think that there's a proverb that says, the path of the just is as the shining light, it shineth more and more to the perfect day.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you the idea that there's a progression of growth.
Yes. Very good. That's excellent. Excellent application, excellent use of verse. The path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the day, the eternal day. It says in the book of Proverbs. Yeah, David.
Yeah, just to back that up, the verse in 1 John 3, you know, where it says we will see him as he is, the very next verse says that anyone who thus knows purifies himself.
Amen.
He is pure. So we're looking forward to the day when we will be perfectly purified, but we are now purifying ourselves.
Amen. Yeah, we are purifying ourselves, like it says. Yeah, in light of the day that's coming. Excellent. That's excellent. We are a great help in turning people to righteousness when we ourselves set a good example in terms of the righteous life that we ourselves live. It helps many people to be able to see the truth of their need of Christ, because when they know these things and they ask about us, we aren't going to be pointing them so much to our own righteousness, the things that we are doing that are right, which they see, but we'll be pointing to the righteousness of Christ, who is perfect in his righteousness in all that he said and did. So it's a blessed thing, isn't it, to think about these things here together. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we want to look at verses 40 to 42. 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 40 to 42. Who would like to read that for us? Very interesting chapter on the resurrection in these particular verses. Ed, you go right ahead. Very good. Thank you for that, Ed. This is very interesting verses in the context here of the resurrection of the dead. It says here there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial or the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another in glory. And then this interesting verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. Which means that we should apply it to ourselves, that someday we shall have a celestial body. When it says that in these verses that one star, question six here, will differ from another in glory, what is that saying in terms of the resurrection from the dead? One star differing from another in glory. Very good. That's exactly right. That even though we all shall shine, as we're talking about here this morning, yet there will be different degrees of glory. Star will differ from star in glory based upon the way that you and I live our lives. And nobody will be offended by that in that day. It will just be evident. I hope that you can see that. It will be the reward, that part of the reward that that each of us has from the Lord. We'll all shine, but star will differ from star in glory. And our God and our Christ will be eternally worshipped and praised. So let's go on from here a little bit to the preaching of the kingdom of heaven, which will someday come to an end. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're right there in our Bibles, verses 23 to 25. It says here, let me just start in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. It says here, and I went ahead and read all those verses just so that we will be able to see these verses in the context. So it says here something about Christ, that he's called the first fruits here in verse 23. And my seventh question to you is, why is he called the first fruits here in this passage? Do you know? Yes. Yes, that's very good. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's raised from the dead, and all of us will someday be raised from the dead based upon the fact that he is raised from the dead. So he's the first fruits, and we are the harvest. Do you see that? So that's the link into our parable, that we are the wheat. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, then it will produce a harvest or much fruit, Jesus says in the book of in the Gospel of John. And so you and I need to glory in that all of our faith rests upon the Lord Jesus. All of our transformation, like we're talking about, in terms of being transformed from one degree to another, in terms of this life, is based upon Christ, the first fruits. And then the final harvest and our glorification all rests upon Christ, who will raise all of the dead at the same time. And particularly we're talking about the righteous here in this parable. So we need to see that. So question number 8, when Christ comes back, will that be the end according to these verses? The answer is yes, because it says so in the passage. Then comes the end, it says there, when Christ will deliver up the kingdom to God. The end, when he will put everything of authority away and power, which is talking about the nations. So the world has to come to an end when Jesus comes back again the second time. There won't be two or three comings of Christ. There will only be one. And you'll notice it's Christ at his coming, singular, not Christ at his comings, plural. So it's very important that we understand that, so that we'll be, all of us will be looking for the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, because as I've said, none of us will miss that. Because when Christ comes back, we'll all be raised from the dead, and every eye will see him. And if that's the case, then that's the end. That's the end of the age, and it's the beginning of eternity. Do you see that? Oh, it's so good when we can come to terms with these things in the simplicity that the Bible delivers them to us. The verses that I read to you about Christ delivering up the kingdom, what does it mean when it says Christ will deliver up the kingdom to God? Now remember what I've talked to you about earlier on here in this study, when it says that the righteous will shine forth in the kingdom of their Father. But we've been talking in the parable about the kingdom of heaven. And I want you to see from these things that they are two different kingdoms, that if I was to take the time and show it to you from the Gospel of Luke, that Christ says to his disciples, my Father has given me a kingdom. I give you a kingdom, just as my Father has given me a kingdom. And what we're talking about in the kingdom of heaven is we're talking about this mediatorial kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the wheat and the tares are gathered out through the preaching of the gospel in this church age. Do you see that? That's what's being talked about. But at the end, when Christ comes back, then it says that Christ will deliver up the kingdom, that is this mediatorial kingdom, to the Father. And the reason for that is so that God will be all in all, it says here. Isn't that good? So that God will be all in all. In other words, the kingdom of heaven will come to an end someday, because the kingdom of heaven is the preaching of Christ and the gospel throughout this whole church age. Do you see that? That's very, very important that we see these truths so that we can rightly divide the word of truth. So the preaching of the kingdom of heaven will end someday, and Christ will deliver up the kingdom to the Father, and God will be all in all, and things are going to be somewhat different, well, actually quite radically different in those in that time. I'm hesitant to say days, because will there be days in eternity and etc.? Well, we know that there must be events following events. We know that, but things will be different because we are in eternity and not in the constraints of time as we are now. I wish we had more time to go into this, but I'll just close this parable with reading. I wanted to read to you a couple paragraphs by John Gill. He says, "It's best, therefore, to understand it, the son's giving up, his delivering up the kingdom to God, the son's giving up the account of his mediatorial kingdom and concerns to his Father, when it will appear that he has, in the whole of his conduct and administration, been subject to him, that he has in all things acted in his name, done all by his power, and to his honor and glory, and now having accomplished all he undertook and was entrusted with, gives in his account, delivers up his charge, and resigns his office, all which will be plain proofs of his subjection, that is, as a man, as a perfect man. When I say he will resign or lay aside his office as mediator, he says, my meaning is not that he will cease to be God-man and mediator, but that he will cease to administer that office as under God in the manner he now does. He will be the prophet of the church, but he will not teach by his spirit and word and ordinances as now, but will himself be the immediate light of the saints. He will be a priest forever. The virtue of his sacrifice and intercession will always remain, but he will not plead and intercede as he does now. He will also reign forever and ever among his saints, but his kingdom will not be a vicarious one, or administered as it now is, nor be only in his hands as mediator, but with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, that God may be all in all. He says, for by God is not meant the Father personally, but God essentially considered, Father, Son, and Spirit, who are the one true and living God, to whom all the saints will have immediate access, in whose presence they will be, and with whom they shall have uninterrupted fellowship without the use of such mediums as they now enjoy. All the three divine persons will have equal power and government in and over all the saints, and they will sit upon one and the same throne. There will be no more acting by a delegated power or a derived authority. God will be all things to his saints immediately without the use of means. He will be that to their bodies as meat and clothes are, without the use of them, and all light, glory, and happiness to their souls without the use of ordinances or any means." Wow, I thought that was extraordinarily good. Well, let's close together in prayer. Father, we thank you for this study. We thank you for the tremendous things that are coming in your coming, Lord Jesus, and in the eternal state, when you will deliver up the kingdom to your Father. We pray, O Lord, that we would live our lives in light of all these things, and that we would be shining examples even in this life of the glorious things that you are doing by your grace in our life, so that we might be able to win people around us to you, Lord Jesus. Give us that grace, we pray, in your blessed name. Amen.